The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon is now 1-for-4 this week, as I'm joined by our great friend, Mr. Frank Isom.
Wow, cheering in D.C., not bad.
And we begin today with the Los Angeles Dodgers beating the Braves last night and moving back into first place in the NL West for the first time since April 28th. The Dodgers now have the best record in baseball, 85-49. They've won 11 of their last 14 and 20 of their last 24. Frank, is the Dodgers' ascension to first place a big deal, a little deal, or no deal at all?
Well, it's always going to be a big deal to avoid the wild card game. And I get it. They have great pitching. But still, in a one-game scenario where you could play either the Reds or even the Padres, it would be difficult. But it tells you how good the Giants have been. Just like Tampa Bay in first place in the AL East, the Yankees have been lights out, and they're not going to catch Tampa Bay. The Dodgers and the Giants, now that they're neck and neck, remember back, it was August 17th, the Dodgers were four games back, but they're the most talented team in baseball. And you make the moves. I know you're going to talk about your boy Max Scherzer, but think about the talent they have. And Clay Bellinger hasn't played that much this year. Mookie Betts hasn't. Last night, it's Justin Turner getting a big hit. A.J. Pollock, who's been great the last couple of weeks. This is a team that knows how to win. Their talent is the best talent in baseball. They should have the best record.
You're 100% right about avoiding the wild card.
Yep.
That is the ultimate goal. Because if, let's just say you get in the wild card circumstance, and we'll use the second team you mentioned, San Diego, and Snell shuts you out, and Tatis hits two bombs, and then with your 100 wins, you're
back
home after one game. So that is what everybody must try to avoid, which is the most exciting thing in all of baseball, the one-game wild card.
Exactly.
But it's terrible if you're actually in it. And thank you for mentioning Scherzer, because I'm going to say that the Dodgers should be thanking the Washington Nationals. At the trade deadline, they picked up Scherzer and Trey Turner. At the moment, Trey Turner is the best Turner on that squad, and they got a good Turner. And he's the leading hitter in all of baseball for average, Trey Turner. Yeah. And Max Scherzer, and I'm going to my glasses because I want to get this right. Max Scherzer, warrior god, has gone 35 innings for the Dodgers. He's got a 1.29 ERA. He's got 50 strikeouts in those 35 innings and five walks. And he has started six games, and the Dodgers have won them all, including last night. Is that something you'd be interested in? Because this guy could actually win the Cy Young.
And,
he could.
And Tony, he went to his manager, Dave Roberts, before the start and said, listen, my hamstring doesn't feel great. I'll see how much I can give you. He threw 74 pitches in six innings. He was shutting down the Braves. You know, he should have won that game last night, but that's the kind of player he is. He's a gamer. When over the past couple of years, you bring in Mookie Betts and Max Scherzer, winning players like that into your organization, it really is I call it an embarrassment of riches, what they have compared to the rest of baseball. I understand Tampa Bay does it in a different way. They do it on a small budget. But the Dodgers' talent, I know they won last year. To validate what they've done, I think they're going to win it again. And that move to get Scherzer changes everything.
You're right what you say about the Giants. Nobody expected them to be up that high for any length of time. And lately, they're sinking, obviously. Four in a row they've lost, 5 of 6, 7 of 13. But they've had a great season. They're up against a freight train. Do not loiter too long on those tracks because the Dodgers are coming through.
Yeah, that's right. And they got three games this weekend up in San Francisco. Well, speaking of the Bay Area, Ben Simmons, he's still a Sixer, and he may be less likely to end up a Warrior. Monty Poole of NBC Sports reports that some Golden State executives are concerned that pairing him on the floor with Draymond Green could leave the team's offense with too many non-shooters. Is this a valid concern, Tony?
Basketball is your area more than mine, but when I first heard about this, I thought that those two could play together. I didn't think that the repetition was terrible because of what they both do well. They both defend. They both pass. You know, they understand the court, okay? So I didn't think it was a basketball problem. Plus, you've got Curry and Thompson, who are shooters. Yep. And I think, Frank, that wherever Simmons goes, just leaving Philadelphia will make him a better shooter. And those two guys together get a lot of garbage points. Where I would be concerned is in terms of personality. Draymond Green is very difficult to play with. That thing that happened with Kevin Durant years back, we are still talking about it. Draymond Green will go up to you, get in your face, and yell at you the way Tom Brady does. And I don't know Ben Simmons. I don't know if he's the kind of guy that can thrive in that circumstance.
Yeah. Honestly, I think you were paying attention all those years going to camp with Larry Brown, because I think you nailed every point that needs to be nailed in this one. I'm of the belief, if you have great players, they know how to play with one another. And let's remember, you know, Draymond Green was on the same team with Kevon Looney. He was on the same team with Andre Iguodala. Iguodala is tough, all the experience. He's not a great shooter. They'll figure out how to do it. And the thing with Ben Simmons, the problem with today's NBA, everyone is worried about three-point shooting. It was the same thing with Giannis. The hurdle that Giannis had to get over was not being afraid to go to the free throw line, which he isn't, and then making free throws. 17 of 19 in the biggest game of his life, game six of the finals. For Ben Simmons, the issue is that he doesn't want to get fouled and he doesn't want to go to the free throw line. I think a change of scenery. I think you're right. Playing with those type of winning players. And like you said, he defends. Every team needs guys that can defend. If I'm the Golden State Warriors, I make this move. I think this will put them right now neck and neck with the Lakers for best team in the Western Conference.
So I will be very specific about this. When you are playing against guys who are 7 feet and larger, who are really good, like Antetokounmpo and Jokic and Embiid, Simmons is 6'11". He can defend these people. What you are getting with Simmons is someone fast enough with Green on the court to outflank these big guys, someone in Simmons who can guard these big guys, and you're getting a younger version by 6 years of Draymond Green. I don't really understand. You're getting Draymond Green and his successor. I don't really understand the reluctance. I don't.
And Tony, think about it. He had a terrible playoff series against Atlanta. He took three shots in 56 fourth quarter minutes. He would not shoot the ball. But immediately after they flamed out, he met with the media. He answered every question. And we all love Doc Rivers. But Doc was asked in that moment, can you be a championship level team with Ben Simmons as your point guard?
He said, I don't know.
I don't know how to answer that. You can't. In that moment, you can't do that. You killed this guy's value. I think you could salvage his career. If I'm Golden State, I'm making this move.
Me too. Let's get to a story that we both love. Stefanos Tsitsipas, your boy, was playing in the U.S. Open again last night. And again last night, like he did against Andy Murray, Tsitsipas took a long bathroom break after losing the third set. Tsitsipas was in the can for 8 minutes and returned to the court to booze. He won the fourth set 6-love to win the match. And afterwards, Tsitsipas said, and I'm quoting, "If I break the rules, sure, I'm guilty. If I'm staying within the guidelines, what's the issue?" Unquote. Frank, the rule book specifies a reasonable amount of time for a bathroom break. So should people have a problem with Tsitsipas or the rule book?
It seems like the most famous bathroom break since Michael Corleone in The Godfather. It is within the rules. And you know, up in Astoria, Queens, you know, one of the largest Greek communities in the country, which is a stone's throw away from Flushing, they love every minute of it. It's gamesmanship. And sometimes this is actually fun in sports. I'm sure for Andy Murray didn't like it because he said he got stiff waiting all that time. But what are they supposed to do? Some players will change right there on the court. That's why they stuff. You see the size of the bags that they bring out to the court. I understand how the players are upset, but it's the rule. And he admits he's taking advantage of the rule. He really didn't say, "I needed to take the break." He kind of wanted to take a break, change the rules.
Okay. If I'm playing against this guy, I hate him and I want to kill him. He goes to the bathroom on a whim. There's strategy to
That's
it,
right.
But it's basically on a whim whenever he wants to go to the bathroom. He spends a lot of time in there. Let me get this right. Everybody has to wait for this guy. He's there for almost 10 minutes. Everybody has to wait for this guy. And then he comes back and he says, "I'm refreshed." That's his word, refreshed. Refreshed. This is tennis. It's not a spa. Let's go to some other sports here. Let's go to golf. Did you ever see Rory McIlroy mark his ball on the green and say, "I'll be back. I'm going to the bathroom before I putt"? Did you ever see Clayton Kershaw, let's say at a 2-2 count, say, "I've got to go to the bathroom and then I'll be back and I'll give you maybe a curveball"? Did the game ever stop so that Tom Brady could refresh his wardrobe? This is not what happens in sports. What this guy is doing is unbelievably annoying to me. And if it's not against the rules, it should be against the rules.
Yeah. I think you're advocating for a porta potty. Maybe they put on the tennis court. By the way, this match last night should not have been played. Your old stomping grounds, we got unbelievable rain here. And I know that they have a roof, but they were more worried. They were more concerned about the fans and the playing the tennis that night. Fans had to get home. The subways were shut down. The roads were. It was irresponsible to play this tennis match last night. Bad job by the USTA.
Yeah, I mean, that. I wasn't there, and I don't know anything about that. And just to the issue of Tsitsipas, going to the bathroom should be something that has biological urgency. It shouldn't be so that you change your wardrobe. That's just not how it works.
I know.
It feels like he's
bending
cheating.
The rules.
It feels that way. Let's take a break. But coming up, it is a big night in college football. Could Minnesota shock Ohio State?
And is the home that Raiders owner Mark Davis, that he's building, is it actually kind of cool? I'd like to see this thing.
What other sport do they stop to go to the bathroom?
He's bending the rules, taking advantage of
change
the rules.
Change your clothes on the court the way everybody else does. Or get 2 to 3 minutes or forfeit the next game. Forfeit.
That'll give everyone the same amount of timeouts. 2 timeouts per match.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
It's mail time where you saddle us with your issues. Let me see what's first.
Mail time!
Could you see Minnesota testing number 4 Ohio State tonight?
All right, so big night in college football. 15 games, should have been 16. Rutgers Temple got moved to Saturday because of the flooding in New Jersey. Ohio State, now the guy that normally sits in this chair, your buddy Michael Wilbon, he's not going to want to hear this, but Ohio State is the SEC of the Big Ten. They're just so much better than everybody else. They've won 11 straight over Minnesota. They're a 14-point favorite. They are not going down. Ryan Day has done a terrific job. That is still the power. Good luck to Minnesota, because they're going to need it tonight.
Can I make the case for Minnesota? Because the case
right
goes like this. Okay, so in Minnesota, they were 11-2 a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago, yeah.
And they have the same quarterback back. And if I get his name, I'm going to feel really happy. Tanner Morgan, I believe it is. He's 18-8 as a starter. They got the same offensive line. They return a running back, Muhammad Ibrahim, who's number 2 in the country last year, and he's at home. And Ohio State doesn't have Justin Fields because he's playing with the Bears. And they've only got 11 of 22 returning starters. That is the case that you make for Minnesota. But Ohio State, under Ryan Day, is 15-0 in the Big Ten. The only time they lose is in the national playoffs.
Exactly.
And they win all their – the last time they lost an opener, I believe, was 1999. So,
against Miami.
Yeah, I mean, I could – if I sit here for 30 more seconds, I'll have them a 30-point favorite. Because they're Ohio State, right?
They've won 27 of 28 against Minnesota. And you're right, Minnesota struggled last year in a COVID season. 11-2 the year before. They did beat Auburn in a New Year's Day bowl.
In a bowl game.
That's great. But
in a bowl game.
It's Ohio State.
I agree with you.
Nailed this.
Admit it. Mark Davis's new house looks kind of cool.
I'm not so sure about that. I think it's quaint if you're a villain in a James Bond movie. Have you seen this thing? I guess the architect is incorporating the practice facility as well as the stadium that they play in Las Vegas. I don't know, Tony. This isn't a Victorian with a wraparound porch. It's a little bit different. I'm not crazy about this one. It looks like Vegas. So I'm not crazy about it.
I didn't know anything about this when it was suggested to me that we were going to talk about the house. And so I read the stories that were sent to me about it. And you're right. Some people say it looks like the Raiders practice facility. And then some people say it also looks like the Raiders new stadium in Las Vegas. It's obviously pretty big. In the stories, It said that they were quoting Las Vegas architects. And one guy said it was masculine. And one guy said it was futuristic. And one guy said it was aggressive. And somebody else said it was macho. That's what they called it. I would call it hideous. That's just me. I would call it gaudy. And I would call it ruins the neighborhood. But I was an English major, right? I wasn't an architecture major. Andrew Luck, I believe, was actually an architecture major. And we ought to ask him. What it reminds me of, Frank, is the spaceship that lands in Close Encounters of the Third Kind that takes away Richard Dreyfuss, and maybe it's coming back to take away Mark Davis. He is quoted as saying, I'm going to live in this place the rest of my life. I don't know how you can live in it for a day.
I don't know how. Well, you were worried when your neighbor moved in and they put on a pink flamingo on their lawn. How about moving next door to this guy with that ugly house? Terrible.
Wow. We've had enough of your issues. Let's take one last break. Still to come, after losing Texas and Oklahoma, the Big 12 reportedly has its wish list together.
And will the U.S. men's soccer team get it done in tonight's World Cup qualifier against El Salvador? 10 p.m. start. Tony will be watching.
I'm not going to be watching that. I've referred to the Big 12 as spoiled meat a number of times. I don't know who's going to jump in on that. I don't know how many schools are going to want to go there.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 69th birthday, Jimmy Connors. James Scott Connors of Belleville, Illinois, hit a tennis ball so hard you thought the fuzz might fall off. He was especially good at returning serve and walking up to the net, wagging his finger menacingly at his opponent. If somebody could be a bully from the baseline, Connors was. In all, he won 8 majors, including 5 U.S. Opens, where he remained a fan favorite deep into his 30s and deep into the Flushing Knights, where they always put him on center court and he owned the darkness like a vampire. Connors could be crude, but he was a fabulous competitor. At one point, he was engaged to Chris Evert in what would have been a marriage of tennis royalty, but they broke up. In 1975, Connors sang on the short-lived Saturday Night Live with Howard Cosell variety show. Connors sang a Paul Anka song and was accompanied on the piano by Anka himself. As I recall, Connors was sweating nervously, but you know what? The song wasn't half bad.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't know that. It is hard to believe, though, Tony. 30 years ago, he went on that great run, which began when he was down 2 sets to love to Patrick McEnroe. That was the first round. Then, of course, it was on this day 30 years ago, they sang Happy Birthday to him as he was beating Aaron Krickstein. Then, of course, lost to Courier in the semifinals. I was at that match. Of course, I went to the one that he lost. Oh, well.
At night, he owned it. Happy anniversary, Ricky Williams. On this day 26 years ago, Williams became the first true freshman running back to start the season opener for Texas since Earl Campbell. Williams finished the game with 95 yards and two touchdowns, including a 65-yard run. Like Campbell, Williams would go on to win the Heisman at Texas. He rushed for over 6,350 yards in his first five pro seasons, but he short-circuited his NFL career when he left essentially because he wanted to smoke marijuana. He came back to the NFL for six more seasons, but was never the same player. This particular game was noteworthy for a couple of other familiar faces. It was Kirk Herbstreit's first broadcast. He was a sideline reporter, and before the game, he talked about Williams spending his summer playing baseball in the Phillies organization. And Mike Pereira was the referee. Now, of course, you can see Pereira critiquing referees on Fox.
Maybe because of Earl Campbell, it seems like Ricky Williams a little bit underrated. Fourth all-time in rushing yards, college football history. And then remember, when he was in Miami, 2002, Tony, 1,800 yards, 16 touchdowns. So he had some good years in the NFL as well.
I thought he was a great player. I mean, I really did. Yeah. Happy trails to Nick Castellanos' back. The Reds right fielder hit two home runs last night against St. Louis. The second home run was a grand slam. And afterwards, St. Louis manager Mike Schilt requested the umpires check the bat. Schilt noticed that the bat was chipped, and for all we know, maybe he thought it was corked. The umpires took it from a kid in the stands who had it as a souvenir. They examined it, and then they returned it to the kid. They determined nothing on the bat affected the outcome of the contact. So the home run stood, and the bat was removed for safety reasons. The grand slam, by the way, was Castellanos' 26th home run of the season, one shy of his career high. After the game, Schilt said he thought the umpiring crew handled it well. And Castellanos said, quote, "I decided to give that dangerous piece of lumber to some lucky kid. At the end of the day, everybody wins," unquote, except obviously the Cardinals.
I don't know. If you're the manager, should you get a little punishment if you ask to get the bat checked? Because we know there's going to be punishment if it's corked. So why not have it work the other way? You challenge the bat, you should get some type of punishment. A little fine, suspension.
So in other words, you want liability on the challenge side. Sort of liability.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I understand that. That's okay, because if this was at the U.S. Open and it had to be, say, Tsitsipas' outfit, you'd have to wait 10 minutes for him to come back
in the
outfit. Yeah, because he'd be in the bathroom for a change, looking at his phone probably. Let's go to the big finish if we can. The Mets placed GM Zach Scott on administrative leave after his arrest on a DWI charge. Does that make sense?
They're a mess. Sandy Alderson's going to assume responsibilities for now. Theo Epstein, though, could be coming to the Mets. The Athletic reports that the four top candidates for Big 12 expansion, BYU, Cincinnati, UCF, Houston. Does that make sense?
BYU always makes sense. They got a passionate fan base. Houston is in the geographic area. I don't really know about UCF and Cincinnati. Look, the Big 12 is desperate. They're desperate at this point. The Athletic also reports that LaMarcus Aldridge has been cleared to play, and the Nets are the leaders to sign him. Would that be a good fit?
He played well for them last year, had to retire momentarily for health reasons. Looks like he's going to be back. He'll help them. CBS Sports reports that the college football playoff expansion could be reduced from 12 teams to 8 due to distrust. Your thoughts?
Distrust? This is a reason now that we have tournaments and we limit the field because of distrust?
Yeah.
Who exactly is distrusting it? This probably helps the alliance. If it was my show, I'd put the SEC and the Big Ten together. That would be it. I'm sorry. USA Today. USA versus El Salvador in a World Cup qualifier in San Salvador tonight. Take your time. Who you got?
Christian Pulisic out. 0-0. Don't call me at halftime like you always do.
Time, Tony.
And I'm Frank Isola. Wilbon returns tomorrow. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.